The scripture reading today comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they had heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief of priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings, and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, he has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God."
As many of you are very aware right now, finals season is fast approaching at the college. So to get you warmed up this morning, I thought we'd start out this week with a pop quiz. I know you're all nervous. The word pop quiz may have triggered in you some sort of primal anxiety response, but don't worry. This is a group quiz. Think of it more like trivia night down at Standing Stone, and you're all on the same team. The category is origin stories. Superhero movies are all the rage right now, and so I'm going to give you the origin story for a fictional superhero, and you call out. That's right, I said call out loud, the character. Ready? Wait till I finish the description. Ready? All right, we'll start easy. Last son of a dying world, his parents rocketed this child off to a distant planet, our planet, whose yellow sun would bestow upon him fabulous powers. He crash-landed in a field in Kansas where he was raised to use his powers for good by the kind-hearted couple that found him.
Superman,
you guys are great. You got it. Okay, next one. Ready? Witnessing the murder of his parents as a child during a mugging gone wrong, he became a vigilante and the world's greatest detective, vowing never to kill as he protects the innocent. Batman, that's right. See, you're good at this. You're ready for finals week, no problem. Okay, yeah, that's right, I hear it. It's two words in and he's got it. This is awesome. Okay, one more. This teenage science whiz, gained incredible powers while attempting a demonstration on a school field trip. He used those abilities to become a professional wrestler until one fateful day when he allowed a burglar to get away, saying that it wasn't his problem. But then later, his uncle is murdered in a botched robbery attempt by the same burglar he himself had failed to stop, and the teenager turns to life as a hero. This is, of course,
Spider-Man.
Nicely done. Nicely done. I knew you could do this. We all know these stories, right? Even if we didn't read the comic books, they've somehow become ingrained inside of us. Each superhero starts with an origin story. And it's always about more than just the story of how they got their superpowers. These origin stories help us understand what makes them tick, what drives them. For Spider-Man, he finally realizes that with great power comes great responsibility. This becomes his tagline, his mantra. He gives it all he's got to save the day, even when the odds are stacked against him, because he's been given a gift, and so he feels a responsibility to use it, to try to help. Our Bible story this morning gives the origin story for the Apostle Paul. He's still going by his Hebrew name of Saul at this point. The Roman version of the name Paul will come later when he's a missionary to the Gentiles. But Saul was first introduced to us back in chapter 7. As the mob moves in to stone Stephen, the first martyr of the early church, they take off their coats so that they can pick up the rocks. And Saul, we are told, watches over their coats and approves of the killing. Then, after Stephen, Saul starts going door to door in chapter 8, rounding up these Christian heretics and dragging them off to prison. Then the story leaves him for a while, follows the adventures of Philip and some of the other disciples instead, until we come to our passage from this morning. Having scattered the church in Jerusalem, he then gets a letter authorizing him to take the purge to Damascus. And then everything changes. A blinding light from heaven, a booming voice. The voice asks, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul's confused. He's been knocked senseless, not sure from where or by whom. Persecuting you? Who are you? And the voice says, "I am Jesus." Now, Saul, he was a religious zealot imprisoning heretics, followers of this false prophet Jesus, except now here he is and nothing makes sense anymore. Saul is left blind. He stumbles into Damascus and sits in the darkness for 3 days, like Jesus in the tomb for 3 days in the darkness, his whole world turned upside down. Who knows what thoughts pass through his mind? What fears? Wrestling with this encounter that threw everything into doubt. 3 days in darkness, he neither eats nor drinks. Then Ananias comes in. He's scared too, because he's heard about Saul. Everybody has. He's sort of the boogeyman of the early church. But God says he's the one. The one God has chosen to take the good news to the nation. And God reflects, the calling will bear a heavy weight. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias comes, delivers his message, and prays for Saul. Something like scales fall from his eyes and his sight is restored. His darkness is transformed into light. This is Paul's origin story. Paul, who goes on to spread the good news to the ends of the earth. Paul, who will be imprisoned and one day give his life for the very gospel he sought to eradicate. Paul, who would write letters that shape our understanding of God and God's people. This story shapes him, shapes his understanding of God. Paul, who finds a grace he did not seek, who is found by grace. It's why his letters are filled with a gospel that's not about trying harder. Paul's letters are the earliest writings we have in the New Testament. They may well have helped shape the understanding of the gospel's authors themselves. And so it is that this good news from its earliest days is built on grace. Not about doing enough. Not about being enough, being good enough to somehow deserve God's blessing. Paul knows guilt, understands a sense that he will never be able to do enough to make it right. But he also reckons with the God who called even him, an enemy of the gospel, knocked him down to do it. When redemption was beyond his own power, beyond even his power to imagine, God sought him out. So Paul proclaims a gospel of grace. We don't have to be good enough or work hard enough. Christ has already done everything. We live lives in response to grace, not seeking it. We are in God's hands, and God is good. Paul's story is his story. It shapes him, and his writings continue to shape us. But we each have our own origin story too. Our own stories of why we're here. My own story is not nearly so glamorous as Paul's, but it is my story. It shapes me. I was adopted as a baby into a pastor's family. I was blessed with parents who loved me, who lived the gospel even better than they preached it. We didn't have a lot, but we always had enough. I learned about grace, not in terms of forgiveness for all the bad things I did, but in this life that has been a gift to me. A lot of people get a raw deal. I got better than I deserve, and that shapes me. A gift like that comes with responsibility. It's not just that. Our origin stories, my origin story doesn't end there. When I went off to college, I flew out to California. I started taking these classes. I remember the first semester, intro to philosophy. I got reading Nietzsche. If you are a devotee of comfort, then by all means believe, but if you are a devotee of truth, then inquire. Away from home, away from the comfort and safety of my parents' faith, I started reading the Bible again, seeing it differently. I had new questions, found my faith starting to crumble. I wasn't sure what I believed anymore. It was my professors, these same men and women that were opening my eyes and challenging my certainty. I saw their faith. I borrowed it for a time. Maybe. I saw that they knew all these things they were teaching me, and yet they still held on. They had found a faith, a vibrant faith, and so I waited. I didn't throw mine away. Not yet. I waited, and I kept reading, kept taking those Bible classes, kept asking questions. And then I fell in love with the scripture. Not the Bible I thought I knew, but with the one that came alive. I fell in love with the scripture and with the God it bears witness to. Out of that came this new faith, not a new certainty, but a new faith, full of questions, full of doubts, but a real faith, open to mystery, full of love. That's my origin story. That's why I'm here, in this place. It's my story, the story that shapes me. It's why I love the Bible, why I love reading it together. It's why I think community, this community of faith, matters so much. It's my origin story, or part of it, at least. Truth be told, our origin stories are still being written. So what's your story? We've read Paul's. You've heard mine. Our stories are all different. That's okay. It's supposed to be that way. Paul's story was different from Peter's, different from Philip, different from Ananias. What's your story? Why are you here? Of all the places in the world, you got out of bed this morning and came here. What is it that brought you? The church is answering some question for you, connecting to some part of your origin story. What is it? Figuring that out, owning your own story, helps you find your way. It reminds you who you are, helps you see that you are chosen. Owning your own story reminds you that your story is not yet finished. The Spirit's not yet finished working on you. The Spirit continues to move in our midst. And your story connects you to others. The brokenness of your story, your brokenness, together with others who are broken. Together, you are not alone, holding each other up. Your hope, bringing hope to others. Your story connects you to others. Your story becomes part of our story. Together. Because we, together, are part of God's story. As Whitman says, the powerful play goes on, and we may contribute a verse. Amen.